Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
I entitled the message today, A Mother's Seed, A Redemption Story. So I wanted to share that first, and I just want to take a minute to ask the Lord to help us to receive the word. So, Father God, we honor you this morning in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, Lord, and we long to hear from you. We long to be near you today, and especially on Mother's Day, Lord. We know that you have a word for us as mothers and as women. So we thank you, Lord, that we would hear your voice clearly, Lord, and that we would receive everything that we need from you today by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to get this part out of the way, I want to just talk to us kind of like I talk to my kids, kind of like I talk in a coffee shop. I'm not much of a preacher, but I will tell you the things that God has put on my heart, and I think it's going to encourage us today. For the last year or so, I have been spending a lot of quality time with my father of 90 years old. I'm going to try not to get choked up here, but as most of you know, maybe some of you don't, he did pass Sunday, and May 1st, very peacefully. And then this Tuesday, we're going to be committing him to the ground right next to my mom, who passed 14 years ago. So it's kind of a bittersweet homecoming, I guess you'd call it that. But, the focus has been on my dad for the whole year, and then all of a sudden it's Mother's Day, and I'm trying to switch gears into mom. And the greatest thing about my mother was that she was a God-fearing woman who loved the Lord with all her heart. She loved and honored my dad. She loved and cared for all of us kids, which there were six of us, and her grandchildren. I think there were a couple great-grandchildren before she passed. So she just had a big heart for everybody, any person that came into the family, including Vic. Well, one of the funny stories about Vic was he came to town, he met me, we started, being together and things like that. And he was a traveling evangelist, and my mom always calls him the traveling evangelist who never left. Yeah, I'd like to think I had something to do with that, but anyway. So that's a good family joke that we had. So today I want to take, time to honor all the moms in the house today and build you up and declare blessings over you and let you know that Pastor Vic and I appreciate all of you. And that goes for all women, whether they're moms right now or not. Doesn't matter. I'm going to put you in that category. And I just want to start out by saying, if we had time this morning to study in depth of Matthew's genealogy that's in the Word of God, we'd discover some characters in there that might seem a little odd, named Hagar, Tamar, Ruth. And Bathsheba is indicated in there, but they don't even use her name. They just say the wife of Uriah. Isn't that interesting? Out of all the characters that would be chosen for the genealogy of Jesus would be these four women. I think that maybe Matthew could have mentioned Rebecca, Sarah, Mary, some other people, but he didn't. And as a matter of fact, out of like 42 generations that are spoken of in the genealogy, women generally weren't included at all because it was a patriarchal society, and they mentioned the men, the patriarchs of the family. But he put them in there. Why? Why are these women mentioned? And I think the answer is we cannot tell the story of Jesus without also telling the stories of remarkable women without whom Jesus would not have been born, right? And some of them, well, all of those four ladies were associated with a little bit of scandal, messy family relationships, family strife, yet God redeemed their lives and used them to bring Christ into the world. Isn't that amazing? So you can see God talking about, or the Word of God mentioning women. It's a big deal because I really believe that Jesus came to free women from bondage of really many tragedies happened in the Old Testament when we read it, and women were victims of certain things, and it was because of the patriarchal society that they lived in. Rapes, murders, you know, all those kind of things. It's hard to talk about, but it did happen. But when Christ came, things, he set things in motion for things to change. So that is a good thing. And isn't that the essence of what the gospel is? God taking all of the ugliness, the stain of our life, the pain and mistakes, sin, and then making it into something beautiful and redemptive at the cross, right? That's what it's all about. And I really felt it in my heart that today, or in today's day, more than ever, we need biblical redemptive messages that show mothers their part in God's story, which can give them hope, right? Mothers need hope. So this Mother's Day, that's it. We're bringing honor to mothers for their role in bringing about Christ, the Savior of the world, which is a story of redemption. So if you have Bibles and you want to look in your own Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 2. But I think we're only going to visit like five or six places in Genesis. But we are going to read the scriptures out loud if you would like. I'll make sure. Okay, even if they're partial and I keep going, just stay with me. So we're in Genesis chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So that kind of sets the stage for what is happening. So we learn from this that Adam and Eve had the entirety of the paradise of Eden to do as they pleased, right? No prohibitions except one, of course. And we know that the exception was the one tree that they were prohibited from eating. And we can read that in Genesis 2:17. It's coming up right here. It says, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die," or certainly die, it says up there. And we know, right? Sadly, the serpent deceived Eve. She partook of the fruit herself. She gave to Adam, and he ate it as well. Both chose to eat. And from that point on, things changed drastically. And I want to talk about some of those things. Genesis 3:7 comes up and explains it a little bit here. It says that then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. I just wanted to say that the nakedness that they were feeling was the physical representation of their disobedience, and added to that the shame of knowing that they had, you know, the knowledge of disobeying God. That made them feel naked. They never felt anything like that before because they were in a perfect atmosphere without sin until that time. And the next things that changed, number one was their relationship with God, right? Their communion with God, their relationship with each other. Their desires changed. Once that, you know, God would run to greet them and they would run to greet God, but now they wanted to hide. The passing of blame back and forth. If we read further in here, we find out that they both kind of like wanted to shift blame on each other and on the serpent. Their location changed because they had to get banished out of that lush garden right away before they ate the fruit of the tree of life. And then the next issue to happen to them was the need to cultivate the earth for food. That was Adam's job now. I'm sure that in the garden, everything was just there, you know, to take. But suddenly, there was a need to cultivate the earth for food outside of Eden. And Adam, as a man, would toil to produce. So I want to delve into that a little further with Genesis 3:17. To Adam, he, which is God, said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. So that's where the toil, Adam began to learn that, you know, it was going to be hard. The soil was going to be hard. And also, Eve would experience toil in the form of pain and childbearing. And another consequence of this, of course, is that she would have difficulty with Adam's headship. You know, like I said, relationally, something shifted, right? They weren't as one as they were before they took of the fruit. One thing that I really is on my heart that I think is important to note is that while God cursed the serpent, you know, Satan, and he cursed the ground that Adam would have to cultivate, he didn't curse Adam and Eve. And I hear that all the time. I hear like, oh, Eve, you know, because of you, you know, we're cursed, this and that. God did cause Eve to experience pain in childbirth, but he wasn't pronouncing a curse. I want to dispel that lie, because there is no curse in giving birth to children, right? The pain in childbirth was a pretty harsh reminder of the fateful decision they made, you know, to sin against God, but it was not a curse. Women curse while they're giving birth to children, but that's okay. You got one little, you know, we understand. God understands. No, I'm just kidding. So we know from the scriptures as well that even though there's pain in childbirth, there's great joy, right, when that child enters the world. It's the biggest blessing that we as women enjoy as those children when they come. Also, contrary to interpretations that a lot of traditions and writings say, the story of the fall does not present Eve as bearing more guilt than Adam. Ladies, come on. Come on. There's always like that stigma like attached to women, I think. It's kind of like, you know, we're bad or something. We're bad, bad women. That's why I brought my favorite coffee cup here today. It says, well-behaved women rarely make history. So, all right. Okay. Just putting that out there. I wanted to make you laugh a little bit, so I hope. So anyway, where am I at now? Right. Oh, yes, Genesis 3:16. This is where it all goes down, ladies. It says, to the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And this is where I want to insert my thoughts. Just my thoughts. Imagine the pain of labor increased by the pain of bringing a child into a life outside of Eden that they previously had, and outside of the relationship and the communion that they formerly had with God, knowing that that child or that baby was going to grow up in a world way different than what they had experienced, right? Imagine that pain. I think we all, as mothers, experience a little bit of that pain every day. That pain of your kid going off for their first driver's license, you know, going out. You're like, oh my gosh, you know. Plus other things, you know, their first heartbreak, you know, just a lot of things that happen. And mothers carry all that. We carry all that, all those feelings, because we love our kids so much, don't we? But even before announcing, you know, what seems like a curse but what isn't, it's more of a consequence, right? More of a consequence of sin. There was a promise of a Savior when God prophesied the very first time about the coming of Christ. He brought it right before 3:16, Genesis 3:16, it's 3:15. I want to make sure that that gets up there. Because it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He's talking to Satan right here, or the serpent. He will crush your head. That's the seed of the woman. And you will strike his heel. So according to the verse, there is going to be an enmity between the individual woman, Eve, and the serpent that deceived her. You know, that's still going on today, by the way. And that word enmity indicates a blood feud, you know, kind of like, you know, the Hatfields and the McCoys, you know, those two crazy families, you know, hated each other. But there's also going to be enmity between his seed and her seed. So evidently there's a seed of woman that I believe are believers in Christ, and then there's his seed, which obviously is at war with that. So like I said, this is the very first prophecy of the death and resurrection of Christ, revealing God's plan to restore all that had been lost by their sin, you know, because we're inheritors, unfortunately, of all of that, right? Because we're right there after Adam and Eve. We're human like they are. So we're going to have a sinful part of us and a fleshly part of us that's going to have a hard time following the commands of God. So we know that Jesus is the seed of woman because he would have no earthly father, right? He had a heavenly father and he had a Joseph father, but he wasn't his father. So it was the woman's seed. And I just love it that God chose a woman, Mary, descended from Adam and Eve, to bring Christ into the world. Even after her mistake, right? Even after messing up. I have a hard time sometimes because I feel that many use Eve's mistake to relegate all women in places of less significance and influence. And many still believe in like male dominating ideas of submission. You know, kind of like submit no matter what, no matter what, how mean he is to you, no matter if he, you know, hits you, beats you, does whatever he does to you, we're still supposed to submit. And I don't think that's what God said. You know, I don't think that's what God said at all. It wasn't God's plan then, and it isn't his plan now. It was a result of the fallen nature of humans, right? And it's really the devil still persecuting the woman today. When you hear stories of things happening to women, that's still the enmity of Satan coming against mothers, women, anybody. Because what did Eve do? Even in her ignorance and her sinful state, she actually exposed what the enemy was doing, right? You know, she exposed him and he got cursed. So he's not too happy about that. He's not happy about that. But thankfully, it was Jesus's sinless life, his sacrificial death on the cross, that paid the penalty all of our sins deserved. So we're indebted to no one, really. We're indebted to no one except to honor and, you know, worship the only one worthy. And we know that is Jesus Christ. And today we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is our new identity, right? You can say it. I want to kind of hear it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There you go. Awesome. And we can rejoice that God chose a woman, you know, to become the mother, to be a vessel God could use, because today our status has changed. Our location has changed. Our desires have changed. All in Christ. Our destinies have changed. Our relationships have changed. That means that we're free, you know. We're free to live in Christ the way he really wants us to, or would love us to. And every one of us is free from guilt and shame. So we can even say that too. I've been freed from condemnation. Guilt and shame. Hey, do we still sin? Yep, we do, but we have to take steps, right, to make things right with the Lord. And God has provided a way for us to do that, right? We can approach his throne of grace anytime, you know, with our burdens and our sins. And he lovingly restores, forgives, cleanses, heals, sets us free, right? He doesn't turn anyone away. He doesn't turn anyone away. He's not going to turn you away. So I really hope that encourages women, that we get rid of all that old stuff that really doesn't describe who we are or how Christ sees us, you know? We are good. Okay, ladies, see this thing right here? Adjust your crown. Come on, straighten your crown. We're queens. And one day we're going to get a heavenly crown and we're going to lay it at Jesus' feet. So we have some awesome things to, you know, ahead for us in the future. So right now I want to give us a word for mothers, and it's from Proverbs 31. We're not going to read the whole thing, so that's good. The Proverbs 31 woman is a picture of a godly woman. Most times she puts her children and her relationship with her husband first, as she should, but they are not her entire world. Ooh, scary. She also chooses to develop her gifts, and she uses them to benefit the family, the community, the church, right? She does a lot of interesting things when you break down all of that, Proverbs 31. But she's a credit to her husband, a role model for her children, and she presents herself honorably. That's the Proverbs 31 woman. It's a kind of a big a big thing to fill, right? To fill that. But luckily, most of us, if we can get a few of those things right, I think that we're doing okay, right? And Proverbs 31:28 gives us the result of her faithfulness and her faithful mothering. It says, her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her, right? So after she's poured her life into them, which many of us have, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband, too. Hint, hint for the guys out there. It's Mother's Day. So can we rise up and call all mothers blessed today? And I want to call some of us out. Hardworking moms.
You're blessed.
Stressed moms. You're blessed. In over your head financially, mom.
You're blessed.
Moms who have gone through hell and back.
You're blessed.
Moms who've made mistakes.
You're blessed.
Moms who are doing their best.
You're blessed.
I'm laughing here. I got to see. Oh, moms who are trying.
You're blessed.
Moms who never give up.
You're blessed.
Moms who taught us right from wrong.
You're blessed.
Moms who pick us up and dust us off again and again and again. That was my mom. We call you blessed. Moms who loved us when we weren't lovable. Moms who stood by us and who stand with us.
You're blessed.
Mothers from every race.
You're blessed.
Mothers from every nation.
You're blessed.
Mothers from every tribe.
You're blessed.
Mothers everywhere.
You're blessed.
So we declare and call you blessed, 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 blessed. So mothers, women, spiritual mothers, may your children rise up and call you blessed. May your love overflow and stick like glue, because mothers are the glue of the family, keeping the family bond strong, united, faithful, and loving for many more years and years and years to come. Be blessed. Be blessed. That's all. Amen. Don't forget to grab your present. And if you want a picture with the crown on your head, just to let people know, it's available.
All right. Let's do it. Not us, man.
Listen, Gail and I love you so much. You know, we're so blessed to be pastoring such great people. And man, we are really proud of you. And we know that the Lord's doing great things through us and among us. And we want to just declare a blessing over you, okay? So, Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for every man, woman, and child in here today. We thank you that your promises, all of them, are yes and amen to us. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you pour out your blessing upon these people that are in front of us today, those online. We thank you, Lord, that you would meet their every need, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially, physically. That, Lord, you would crown them, Lord, with honor, and that you would clothe them in your robe of righteousness. And we thank you for a peace that surpasses all understanding to cover their heart and their home. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.